Florida State versus Clemson. Can the Noles pull off the unthinkable, or is it going to be another struggle Saturday for FSU? That's what we're here to talk about today, guys. I'm Jesse from Planting the Spear. Thank you so much for tuning in. And look, we're going to get into this one. It's not exactly how we expected things to go, but this season has been the season of struggle for us so far. And actually, while I'm bringing that up, you know, last week we were not able to do our Friday show because I was without power from the hurricane. And then this Friday show, Michael actually lost power due to some utility work in his area. So the struggles continue for all of us, man. It feels like we're just living in an alternate reality. I mean, you got Duke is 5-0, Pitt's 5-0, Miami's a top 10 team, we're 1-4. Man, 2024 just doesn't make any sense from a college football perspective, but the struggles are real. But that doesn't mean that we are not going to show up for you guys. So I'm going to show up. We're going to audible a little bit here. So I'm going to do a preview on this game for you guys, because obviously we want to show up and talk about some things for you guys. Next week during the bye week, we will of course have some more big picture talk on some interesting topics that we have set aside for you guys. But again, talking about Florida State trying to knock off the Fighting Dabos, and can they do it? Now, I know most of us want this game to just, you know, maybe get canceled or something like it did in the past, because we're not really looking forward to this one. But look, they're going to play the game, so we're going to talk about it. And I could see this thing go a couple different ways, right? I could see where Florida State could keep this respectable. I could see where it could get ugly. I think that's where most of the predictions are falling in this one, because Clemson really is a team that's hit its stride, and Florida State is just continuing to struggle. You know, for me, I really kind of hope this week what you're going to rely on. And again, hope, we say this all the time on the show, hope is not a strategy. But what I'm hoping for this week is just with the change of quarterback, with Mike Norvell in his press conference calling some guys out, right? I think these are some things where maybe it gives you a spark. Maybe it shakes things up. You know, we talked about in our Wednesday episode where the race that Mike Norvell does with the players that I think we're pretty much all tired of watching. We talked about how there was a really poor effort in that one, and there was like one guy racing him and a couple of guys jogging behind him, and that was pretty much it. But then you saw later throughout the week, after the press conference, after they just got hammered by the media, after they made the quarterback change, that a lot more guys participated and actually tried hard in the race. And so maybe there is something to these guys rallying around each other. Maybe there is something to Brock Glenn and having a vocal leader at quarterback, because I do think that while Brock may not be a magic pill that fixes a bad offense, because he's still going to have to play behind a bad offensive line, he's still going to have to play, throw the ball to wide receivers who have a very high drop percentage that's not going to help him out. The one knock that we've had on DJ more than anything, and there's been a lot of them, has been that he's just a statue out there. He doesn't seem like a vocal leader. And Brock is a guy, even though he's a young guy, he is a vocal leader. He is a guy who, you know, he may not be the biggest rah-rah guy, but he is a vocal leader, and he is confident. We saw that before the Georgia game last year. Now, it didn't work out well, but he was a confident guy. And I listened to his post-practice presser this week. It was very short, only about 5 minutes. But he seems excited for the opportunity, and he seems confident in what he's doing and confident in his team. And I know there's not a lot of people who are going to pick Florida State to win this game, but you don't want to go into the game being defeated before you even kick the ball off. So that's good to see from him as well, as far as being a leader and being able to rally this team. And I hope the team rallies around him, because they know Brock's going to try hard, because this is his opportunity. And I hope he gets the bye week to get better and the Duke game. I hope they don't just bring DJ back, you know, aside from the injury, what that might limit him to. I think the fans might riot if they do, but I think that you're going to see more of what Brock can be after that bye week. After you just kind of wear this one, you see what it looks like in that bye week as far as him grasping the offense as the starter, getting those starter reps, and then going into that Duke game. And I think you probably are going to see Luke get some reps maybe in this game, depending on how close it is, or if Brock struggles. I think you may see Trevor Jackson get some in this game as well, depending on how things play out. And at this point, I mean, you got to try anything. You got to see what you got in these young quarterbacks, because you need someone to provide that spark. But Brock, at least, you know, he has another year in the system, so you want to see how his progression has looked. And it may not look that great this week as you go against a good Clemson team, but you just want to see him. You got to get more from the quarterback position, because you've gotten really nothing from that position so far. So that's one of the things that we're hoping for. And, I mean, you are going to have around 30 recruits visiting for this game. Some are official, some are unofficial, some are guys you're trying to flip. Some are guys that are already committed. Some are guys that have decommitted, like Javion Hilson will be in town for the game. There's not a not probably a great recruiting strategy behind inviting recruits to this game, but hey, look, they're going to be here, so it is what it is. It's a night game in Doak, maybe. But there's not a whole lot of big games this week, so you kind of have a chance to be on center stage there as well. And of course, one storyline to watch with this game, obviously we don't have the DJU against his old team, but maybe by chance, maybe by fate here. Actually, if Clemson wins this game, Dabo will pass Bobby Bowden for the most wins at an ACC school. It's kind of weird how it just happens to be against Florida State that could be accomplished. But maybe Florida State will have some, you know, some Bobby Bowden magic and pull off the unthinkable. Because again, it's 2024, man. Anything is possible this year because we've seen some crazy, crazy games, crazy upsets this week. You know, again, Brock is not Jameis. Brock is not Jordan Travis, but it's a new quarterback. It's something different. I think if nothing else, it at least gives you some reason to watch the game, right? I mean, I think if this was another put DJ out there, same thing, same every week, man, it's so easy to tune this out because so many people are getting tired of just watching the same old every single week. And so at least this gives you a reason to be excited. I think it gives the team a reason to something to rally around. And that's really our hope. And again, hope ain't a strategy, but that's all we got at this point. So before we get into that, if you guys are going to be in Tallahassee for this game, you know, just because the team don't look great doesn't mean you don't have to. And that's coming from today's sponsor, Alumni Hall FSU, where you can get great FSU gear, tailgate supplies, hats, shirts, everything you need. They got you covered. If you're in Tallahassee for this game, 1415 Timberlane Road, or shop online at alumnihall.com. Navigate over to the FSU page. And make sure you use code SPEAR to save 10% on your order online or in store. So we appreciate you guys for supporting those that support us. Now, let's talk about these two teams here. So first off, Florida State, we know what Florida State is, right? Florida State is a team that is struggling to find a way, struggling to find an offensive identity. They've tried to run. They've tried to pass. Neither one is really working consistently. So you make the change at quarterback here. Obviously, it's due to an injury, but however it has to happen, it needed to happen. And so hopefully Florida State can find some identity on offense. Hopefully they call an offense that is conducive to utilizing Brock Glenn's skill set with being a mobile guy, because I think that's what he does bring. He brings mobility and he brings moxie. Like, he is not scared to take a shot, to deliver a ball. He is got the mobility to extend plays, to move the pocket, and to keep it on a read option. I think he has those abilities to make the defense respect him in the run game, which is something we do not see with DJU right now. So I think you do get some new, fresh things that you can bring to your offense with him, and I hope they game plan around that to make the game easy for him. But the defense has actually been decent this year with Florida State. It's just at times they get gassed late in games. You know, there were some really ugly things in the Georgia Tech and the Boston College game, but they played decent against Memphis. They played decent against Cal, and they got the win. They played okay in the first half against SMU. Not great, but okay. But then they, you know, they get gassed, and the quit factor rolls in. And so if you can get a decent performance from your defense, if your offense can just sustain drives to keep those guys rested, you could see where this game could be respectable, right, at a minimum. But now let's talk about that Clemson team. Clemson has really hit their stride, and this is, of course, going to be the best team that you've played so far this season. And the reason I bring that up is, you know, strength of schedule really is huge. And when you look at a perfect example is with Ole Miss. Ole Miss, top 10 team, just blowing everybody out. Probably the best team they had faced so far this season was Wake Forest, who is not very good. I mean, they just lost to Louisiana, not Louisiana State, Louisiana Raging Cajuns. And so then they go play Kentucky, and Kentucky's a team that, you know, they got blown out by South Carolina, but they also played Georgia to 1 point. And so Kentucky beats Ole Miss at home. So, like, the strength of schedule is such a big factor with this. And the difference between where these two teams are at is pretty noticeable. I mean, you have Florida State, who hasn't really played anybody good yet, like a Georgia, like Clemson has already played. So Clemson is going to be the best team you've played this season. But Florida State really hasn't played anybody bad yet either. You played a lot of pretty decent to good teams. On the other side, Clemson has played Georgia, and they got blown out in that game. And then they played a bunch of bad teams on top of that. So I still really don't know where Clemson is as a team. Now, the unfortunate part is you're not a very good team either at Florida State. So I don't know how much of a fight you're going to put up, but I do think it is worth talking about. I mean, again, you look at game one when they played Georgia, the really the only good team that they played so far this season, and they got their doors blown off. They got blown out by 31 points. They got outgained 447 yards to 188 yards, held to under 200 yards of offense. That's the same Georgia team that played Kentucky to 1 point. That's the same Georgia team that was down 30-7 to Alabama, even though they came back but then lost. Maybe that's not like the repeat national champion type of Georgia team. Still a very good team. Still probably top 10 best team in the country for sure. One of the most talented. But they smoked Clemson in that game. So then Clemson comes back and they respond against App State. You know, App State had been rumored to kind of be one of those G5 contenders for the playoffs there. But they're having a tough season too. 2-2 on the year, only one FBS win, one FCS win against ETSU. Their one FBS win was like a 4-point win over Eastern Carolina. They've been blown out twice so far by South Alabama and Clemson. Now, I mean, Clemson put it on them. You couldn't ask for a better response. 66-20, 712 yards to 363. But then they also go and they beat NC State. NC State might be one of the only teams in the country that's worse than Florida State right now. I mean, when you look at what they've done, they started out by struggling against FCS Western Carolina at home. Then they get beat by 41 by Tennessee. Then they get beat. They get blown out by Clemson, 59-35, I believe it was. Then they had to have a come-from-behind win against Louisiana Tech. And then last week, they beat Northern Illinois 24-17. Now, I know Northern Illinois beat Notre Dame, and transitive properties are really complicated in college football. But Northern Illinois also went and lost to Buffalo the week after losing to Notre Dame. And Buffalo is a team that got blown out by UConn. So it's hard to make sense out of that, but I think you get what I'm saying here. NC State has been dominated by the good teams that they played and struggled against like G5 teams and FCS teams. So they are probably worse than Florida State this year. And then you look at Stanford. Then they go blow out Stanford 40-7. Now, the interesting thing about Stanford is Stanford looks better this year than they have in the past. Maybe that's because they're in the ACC and the ACC is having a terrible year. They did beat Syracuse, who had a good win over Georgia Tech, but Stanford has been a bottom-of-the-barrel Pac-12 team. They haven't sniffed even a winning record in like 5-6 years. Stanford, although the score was 40-14, they actually outgained Clemson by 44 yards, 405 to 361. Stanford ran the ball for 236 yards. That's almost insane to even believe that they were able to do that. They did have three turnovers in that game. That's something that Florida State cannot afford to do, is give them too many free chances in this game against a team that's better than you. But that game against Stanford was only 20-7 with 2 minutes left in the third quarter. So Stanford kept it close. And to be honest, if Florida State had Clemson 20-7, you know, on the losing side of that, if you were only down 20-7 with 2 minutes left in the third quarter, you would probably throw a parade for that, right? I know there's no moral victories in Tallahassee. Look, guys, this is depressing to talk about, that we're even in this position where you're just hoping to keep it respectable against Clemson. But it is what it is. It's where we're at, and that would be pretty decent there. And the other thing that I want to mention, too, when you talk about Clemson, is those last three big wins that they've had have all been in Death Valley. And we all know that Clemson is an entirely different team in Death Valley than they are on the road. Even that Georgia game, it wasn't a true road game, but it was a neutral site game. And that's their one loss. So when I come into this, I'm not picking Florida State to necessarily win this game. We're just looking for like a window of opportunity for them to sneak up on Clemson. You know, maybe a peephole of opportunity to sneak up on this Clemson team. And so when I talk about that, when I talk about the differences in what they've faced, you know, again, you look at Florida State, right? So Florida State so far this season, the offenses, when I say they faced a bunch of pretty decent teams, but no real bad teams. When you look at what they faced so far on offense this year, Florida State's faced the 13th, 46th, 47th, 66th, and 99th ranked offenses. The 99th was Cal. You held them to 9 points. You did a good job there. So far, the offenses that Clemson has faced has been 52nd, 82nd, 85th, and 96th. So not very great on the offensive slates there. Now, unfortunately for you, you're 126 in offense for Florida State. So hopefully the new quarterback and some young pieces like a Landon Thomas or something like that, you know, hopefully these guys can give you a spark to do better. Because again, Landon Thomas has more touchdowns, I think, than the entire tight end room has had this season by himself in his very first game. So you want to see them get more burn in this game, because that may be your only opportunity to have that spark. When you look at the defenses that Florida State has faced, 12th, 23rd, 35th, 46, 51st. So basically, if you round up a little bit there with that 51st, all top 50 defenses so far you face this year. For Clemson, their defenses have been 18th, who held them to 3 points, 86th, 120th, and 126th. So they have faced some terrible defenses. Now, you're 76. We know Florida State's defense isn't great, but it isn't terrible when it doesn't get gassed or and they play hard for all four quarters, which is, again, another terrible thing to even mention. Now, Clemson, the bad defenses, they have exposed them, 40, 59, and 66 points. So you think you're probably going to end up somewhere in that 30 to 40-point range. But you get what I'm pointing to here is the fact that Clemson has played one good team and got their doors blown off, and then they beat up a bunch of bad teams, where Florida State hasn't really played that elite team yet, but they've also not really faced anybody bad yet. Now, again, what's interesting in this game, too, is this is the first time that you've had a team that's been more talented than you. Now, we have to use air quotes on paper for this, because we know Florida State has been the more talented team in every game so far, and they're 1-4. But this is the first time that you don't have that talent edge on paper. So that is going to be interesting to see how it plays out, because it could, you know, that could lead to things getting ugly there, because Clemson does still have a very talented roster. Maybe not to the level that it used to be, but it's still on paper. It's a better roster than you have right now. And, you know, Florida State really, we're going to talk about this next week, but they just don't really have any superstars this year. And you know, even if you think back to 2021 when they had Jermaine Johnson and Keir Thomas and Jamie Robinson, those three guys alone essentially carried your defense. You just don't have guys like that this year. And even the ones that you do have, like an AZ Thomas or a Shaheem Brown, just aren't playing as well as they should be. So we're going to talk about that more next week. But that's just the thing, man. If you just kind of have a lot of average to okay college football players and you're competing against teams like this, you need to get the most out of them. And right now, they're just not doing that. So this will be the first time that you have not had the talent edge so far this season. Now, let's talk about that Clemson defense real quick. Because Clemson is actually kind of backwards this year. You know, Clemson has always been a team that has relied heavily on their defense carrying them when they had Venables there and they were on their you know, national championship and playoff runs. But scoring defense this year comes in at 25.8 points per game, 83rd in the country. That number actually surprised me there. Now, some of those points, like in the NC State game, did come in garbage time. I think they scored like 20 points in garbage time there. Clemson lost their entire front four coming into this season, so they had to replace them. Now, they were, of course, they reload at Clemson in the trenches because they've recruited very well at that position. But this front seven is not as good as Clemson's front seven has been in the past. However, with that being said, this is still the best front seven that you're going to face by far this season in the games that you played so far. Might be the best you face all season. And that's what really worries me about this game, is that you're just not going to be able to block them. That is what concerns me the most, because this offensive line has really been the linchpin of struggles so far this season. And so it's not been good. And so that's where I get worried in this game, is you're not going to be able to be competitive in the trenches, especially on the offensive side of the ball going against their front seven. Now, one of the reasons that I bring that up that is interesting to me is another number that kind of shocked me. Clemson's rush defense so far this season is giving up 183 yards per game on average, which is 105th in the country. That is pretty surprising to me. Now, unfortunately, Florida State is 131st in rushing offense, so I don't know if you're going to be able to take advantage of that, but I would like to see you run for triple digits at a minimum. I mean, if Stanford's out here running for 234 yards, and really what's interesting about that too, Clemson has not faced a top 60 rush offense this season. So they really haven't even faced any even decently good rushing offenses so far this season that are in the top 60. So if Florida State can at least get to like 150 yards on the ground in this game, whether that be with the quarterback legs, with some Wildcat stuff. And, you know, again, I know Wildcat is something that people will be like, well, they'll just load the box and stop you. But Wildcat is a numbers thing, right? You're giving yourself a numbers advantage, so you can still do that. I mean, the touchdown in the ACC championship game, I believe, was still into a 7-man box. So, like, you do that to give yourself a numbers advantage. They got to get creative in this game. You got to find a way to run the ball to take the pressure off Brock Glenn. You can't put all this on his arm. Now, you're going to need him to throw the ball, but you're going to need to take advantage of his legs as well, because this is the one area that you can attack Clemson is on the ground. And so when you look at the pass defense, they are giving up 219 yards a game, 76 in the country, but they have faced two top 25 passing offenses. I do think in this one, Brock Glenn, I'm hoping to see him get around at least 200 yards passing. I don't think you're going to see some crazy 300-yard game or anything like that. Maybe you get off a couple of chunk plays or something like that, like we saw in the Orange Bowl, the long play that he had to Portier. Maybe you hit a few of those shots over top to back that defense off. We know we can throw them. I mean, we saw it. But that might be a little tougher to throw the ball, especially with receivers who have struggled to consistently catch. And then the one other thing that's interesting, too, is Clemson is 81st in sacks at only 2 per game average. Now, I suppose with this one, with the way your offensive line is playing and with a redshirt freshman quarterback who may not read things the fastest, hopefully they give him some quick read plays that they may cause some havoc in the backfield. But man, I mean, that you got some opportunities here. You really do. Like with a mobile quarterback, I think if you had DJ in this game, you would probably get slaughtered, and you may anyway. But with, you know, when I went back and watched that Georgia game, and I only watched where Brock Glenn threw the ball because I really didn't want to watch anything else. There are some plays, man, where he can move the pocket and he can extend plays with his legs, and he will still be able to look downfield and make some completions. So again, like, I think if you can take advantage of that opportunity right there, just the quarterback's legs, and Brock, you're going to be tired after this one because you're going to be running a lot, buddy. But that's what we need you to do. I think you do have an opportunity to kind of to get some life on offense. I'm not saying you're going to go out there and put up 30 points, but this Clemson defense has not been smothering as you might think. So now, with that being said, they've also held App State to 20. They held Stanford to 14, even though they put up 400 yards. So when you get down into the red zone, you got to get some points. You know, even if it's some field goals, let's let Fitzgerald do some work in this one. You're probably not going to beat Clemson with field goals. You're going to need touchdowns, but you got to get some points, man, when you have the opportunity. Now let's talk about the Clemson offense, which again, this has kind of been the opposite here. This has been a little weird, you know, for Clemson, that their offense really seems to be the one that's carrying the load here. And last year, it was the exact opposite. Again, they relied on that defense, and their offense really struggled. This year so far, Clemson, which we, you know, like we said, we know that they face some pretty bad defenses so far this season, but 42 points a game, 14th in the country, passing offense averaging 278 yards a game, 31st. Now, Georgia is the only pass defense that they face that even ranks in the top 90. And Florida State is 73rd in pass defense right now. So while you haven't faced a lot of really good passing teams, you've actually done pretty good, especially against non-mobile quarterbacks. Now, Klubnik is a legitimate runner, but he's not like a Thomas Castellanos or even a Haynes King. He prefers to throw the ball more than run it. So if you can get back there and get some pressure on him, then you might can have a little bit of success here slowing down that passing game, because he's having a good year. And we're going to talk about Klubnik in just a second. Your rush offense here, 179 yards per game, 52nd in the country. They face 2 rushing defenses in the top 60 and 2 ranked 90th or below. Problem is, again, for you, Florida State is ranked 96th in rushing defense. So, man, you're going to have to figure something out in this one to try and slow that down, because Phil Maffa is a load to bring down. He is a big, strong running back, and I have a feeling they're going to feed him consistently in this game. And again, like we said, I mean, they may not have Shipley anymore, but they got a big bruiser back. And then you also have Cade Klubnik, who can run the ball with his legs. But talking about Klubnik here, I mean, he's really bounced back this year. You know, he came in as a true freshman, won the ACC championship against North Carolina back in 2022. And then in the Orange Bowl, when he faced Tennessee, looked like a freshman, made a lot of mistakes, and they ended up getting blown out in that game. Then last year, he had a really, really bad year. Lots of turnovers, lots of questionable decisions that he made, even under new offensive coordinator Garrett Riley. But this year, he's looking to be like the guy that they thought he could be. Now, again, remember, a lot of bad defenses there. Didn't exactly have a great game against Georgia. But He is fourth in the country in QBR at 89.1. So he's having a great year so far. 66.4% completion percentage, 984 yards, 12 touchdowns through the air to only two interceptions. Really has cleaned up a lot of the turnover issues that he's had. 17 attempts on the ground, 106 yards, four touchdowns. So 16 total touchdowns so far this year. So, I mean, again, he's having a good year. Now, one of the keys to this to me, Adam Fuller, if you're watching this, is you got to get pressure on him. I mean, when you go back and look at the per game stats, the two games where he didn't do the greatest, now he's actually been pretty good in just about every game. The Stanford game, he had a pretty bad completion percentage, but he still threw for four touchdowns. But when you look at the per game stats, the two worst games that he's had was against Georgia and Stanford. The pressure rate in both of those games were over 30%. And in both of those games, this is kind of crazy. This is per PFF now. Stanford blitzed 70% of the time, and Georgia blitzed 50% of the time. So to me, if I'm Adam Fuller, and I'm not, but if I'm Adam Fuller and you're watching this, man, what do you got to lose? You are 1-4. Your linebackers struggle to cover in space. You need to send the house and just keep the pressure up, because one, you can slow down the run a little bit that way with Maffa. And then two, you can put the pressure on Klubnik, because his two worst games have been when he's been pressured the most. I mean, sell out. Just bring the heat, man, and just cause chaos in the backfield. That's, to me, that's your best chance. Because when you look at the NC State and the App State game, the pressure rate was only around 20% for both of those games. And App State was actually under 20% at around 18%. NC State blitzed just 22% of the time, and App State blitzed only 11% of the time. So they basically allowed Kate Klubnik to sit back there and pick them apart. And I don't think you can afford to do that. You know, even though the secondary didn't play well last week, they're still one of your strengths, you know, on this defense. So I think you really do need to put the pressure on Klubnik, try and slow down that run, and don't let him pick you apart. I would rather you put, you know, some of these other guys, some of the secondary in challenging situations just to see what they got versus just letting them pick you apart or them just run the ball down your throat all night, because you just can't do that. Some other stats I want to hit on real quick here. Turnover margin, Clemson is at +6, tied for 7th in the country. Florida State is at -5. 113th in the country. So, man, you got to clean that up in this game, because you can't, again, this is a really tough task to ask to beat this team. You cannot let them have too many extra opportunities. You can't give away too many at-bats here. And then one of the keys that I want to talk about here, because, you know, we kind of hinted at it before with the moving the ball on the ground, not putting the ball entirely on Brock Glenn's arm. I think one of the biggest keys in this game, and something that we've really struggled with so far this season, which is what I'm hoping to see an improvement with Brock Glenn versus DJU because of his legs and his running ability, again, is just the fact that other teams have to respect his running ability is enough to help this offense. But we talked about this. We hinted at this a little bit on Wednesday's show, and that's early down success. This is going to be paramount in this game. So when you look at early down EPA, Florida State's offense is currently 119th, and that's expected points added. 119th. It has been abysmal, which puts you into third and long situations, which we know their offense has been terrible at. Third and fourth down success rate has been 96 in the country. So that has just not been good. So you cannot put Brock Glenn in obvious passing situations on third and long and allow that Clemson defensive front to pin their ears back and take advantage of this offensive line that's been struggling. The thing is, Clemson's early down EPA on defense is 102nd in the country. So they have not been the greatest on early downs either. So you have to put yourself into those third and short situations. Now, third down and fourth down success rate for Clemson's defense is 23rd in the country. So they have been good on third down. So you cannot put yourself in third and long situations, or it's going to be a long night for this offense. Then they don't convert. They don't move the chains. Then the defense stays on the field and they get tired. And then this thing runs away from you. And so really, to me, to keep this game respectable, some of the keys here are going to be you got to move the ball on the ground. You just have to. I mean, they're 105th in rush defense. I know you've struggled to run the ball this year, but I really do think when you have a guy who they have to respect in the run game, you're going to see a change in the way defenses handle this offense. So if you can at least run the ball for, say, 150 yards or so, then you will have an opportunity here to kind of open, to keep that the chains moving, to keep, that defense a little bit fresh later in the game to keep yourself in this game late. And you're going to have to limit the mistakes too, because Clemson, you can't give them extra opportunities. So that's a big one there. And early down success is going to be a huge, huge, huge part of that. The other key I have is to get pressure, you know, bring the heat, man, bring the heat, Fuller, bring pressure, create chaos in the backfield. Again, like, you got nothing to lose, man. You're 1-4. And if you lose this, you're 1-5 going into a bye week. What do you have to lose? And so as we get ready to wrap this up, and the thing is here with Brock, right? And I'm excited to see Brock again. I think we're all excited to see Brock or Luke or Trevor or whoever plays. But the thing is, when you look back at last year, I think Brock does bring that mobility and that moxie that we talked about. I think he does give you that mobile aspect. I think he gives you that leadership aspect. I think he's going to rally the guys. I am looking for that. I am looking for a renewed sense of energy this week. But, you know, people will look back at what he did last year and kind of trash on him for that. But again, man, when you look back to last year, he had a 20.8% drop pass percentage and a 47.7% pressure rate last season. Both of those were worse than DJU in 2024. You know, in that ACC championship game, we all know that, like, Mike Norvell was under the impression that they were basically trying to just win and you're in. That's what they thought. And so they weren't going to let him go out and take a lot of shots and chances. In the Georgia game, you know, that was an exhibition, and they were pretty much just going to kind of let him see what he's got. He threw the ball down the field a lot more. He took a lot more chances. And you saw some progression in that game. It wasn't a great game by any means, but I think you saw him take some steps from one game to the next. So you want to see how much he progresses going forward. And you know, like we talked about earlier, this is the game where you watch the game within the game. He's going to need people to step up around him, but you want to see how much he's progressed from year one to year two. Then he gets that bye week. Then he goes against Duke. So you kind of got to wear this one, but you want to see how he looks in this game. He's had a whole week to prepare as a starter. You know, again, last year, where we thought Tate might be able to play in that ACC championship game, was under concussion protocol. So it's kind of a late scratch there. And then Tate opted out late for the bowl game. So Brock didn't have quite as much time to prepare as a starter. So you get that this week. And so you want to see how he progresses. That's something I'm really looking for, but you're going to need a supporting cast to step up and help him. And I really hope these guys play hard for him. I mean, even then, you know, you look at that SMU game, he comes in, he has a drop pass right off the bat. He gets pressured twice and sacked pretty ugly one time. And then he makes a good screen throw, which is something that, you know, DJ kind of just lobs it out there. Brock actually had some zip on it, and it went for like 15 yards and gets called back for a holding penalty. You can't have that type of stuff in a game against Clemson. So you got to have guys help him out. You got to catch the ball when it hits you in the hands. You know, you look back to that Georgia game, man, they had a 25% drop pass rate. And a lot of that hit them in the hands, hit those guys in the hands. You know, a lot of it this year has been because DJ is just kind of inaccurate. So you got to get some help here for them. So wrapping this up, I think I could see this go two ways, right? I think the first way is if Florida State does come out with a renewed sense of energy. If the crowd does show up, now 50,000 people isn't going to sway Clemson, isn't going to rattle Clemson. But if you can get some, if you can move the chains using Brock's legs and some combined things with the offense, take some chances, you know, maybe run some trick plays just to put the pressure on Clemson in any way that you can. Don't have the stupid mistakes like you did getting penalties on special teams and doing these types of things that you've seen pop up in the last couple of games, in the Memphis game, in the SMU game, where you had costly penalties on special teams. If you can avoid that type of stuff and you can play your best game, I think you can keep this one relatively close, like maybe a 34-17, 34-20 type of game. At the same time, I think what's more likely to happen here is you're going to see an offensive line that's going to get chewed up and spit out by this Clemson defensive front. I think you're going to see a redshirt freshman play hard, but he's going to make some freshman mistakes. And then I also think the defense could end up getting gassed, and it could lead to them, you know, having a little bit of quit in that second half. So if that happens, I think the game will get ugly late and it will run away. So, you know, as much as I hate to do it, guys, obviously I'm not going to pick Florida State to win this one. But I think I have this one. Like I said, I can see either scenario playing out here, but I'm going to take probably in this one. I'm thinking something around Florida State keeps it close in the first half. like a Stanford probably did, and then things maybe start to come unraveled late as the team gets gassed, because Clemson has better depth than you do right now, and more playmakers, and they're just a better coach team at this current moment. So give me Clemson 45, Florida State 17, with the opportunity for it to probably get worse or better either way. I'm really excited to see how they respond this week with Brock Glenn at quarterback and a guy who's a leader. So we'll see, man. I mean, I don't know. Watch the game within the game. Don't pay attention to the score. But hey, who knows? Stranger things have happened. I mean, obviously Ole Miss didn't think they were going to get knocked off by Kentucky, you know, whatever, all these other crazy games that have happened. You know, a lot of these teams didn't think that it was going to happen. So you never know. I mean, we'll see. But with that being said, guys, that's going to do it for this episode. Make sure you check back for, we should be able to do a post-game show on Saturday night. Hopefully everybody has power and everything is good. We'll be here either way. Like we said, things may not be going well this season, but we're still going to be here for you guys, bringing the content. We're not going to back out of it or anything. It's been rough, but you know, we're going to make it through this together, because that's what we're here for at Plant the Spear, to be your fan outlet where we can kind of come and survive this whole thing together. So with that being said, check out Alumni Hall for all your needs for FSU gear. Save 10% with code SPEAR. Like and subscribe if you have watched this video and enjoyed it. Rate and review on the podcast helps us reach other Noel fans. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor. You know, again, this is like group therapy for us going through this. So love you guys. Mean it. We'll catch you on the other side. As always, thanks for watching, and go Noles.